Chapter 7, Daniel. We got some messages that we preached on this. It said, in the first year of Belshazzar, king of Babylon, Daniel had a dream and visions of his head upon his bed. Then he wrote the dream and told the sum of the matters. Daniel spake and said, I saw in my vision by night, and behold, the four winds of the heaven strove upon the great sea. Now, I'd like to comment just a little bit here because we won't get to say much on this. It's just kind of open a door to where we can get into this a little later. I've been wanting to get into it because it has to do with what's happening now here in the age in which we're living. Notice this. A lot of times I try to help you to understand where you can differentiate between visions or dreams or what is a dream or what is a vision. And I try to point out to you that there's three minds that's talking with you and that each one of these minds comes from a power or a source that we're not going to try to get into tonight. It's two teachings. But I've got this somewhere on a teaching or in a teachings of the three minds. And I try to express to you that it is necessary for you to keep your mind stayed upon Christ Jesus. Because this whole thing, the entirety of life and the transitions of life, everything concerning life consists of one thing. And that is a mind. All of your problems is your thoughts. Someone would say, Brother Pike, my problem is because my child done such and such, or my parents did such and such, or all the different things that happened to me, the complex of life, Brother Pike. No, that isn't right. If that is your problem, then what happens to an individual that gets amnesia, that doesn't remember anything else? They don't seem to have any problems with that. It's like Raph that's in the hospital. He had a wreck, a terrible wreck, but he says he doesn't remember anything about any crash. Somebody asked him how old he was. He said, I'm 77, I believe he said. And he couldn't understand why they couldn't understand why he wasn't 77. How do you understand what I'm saying? You said, what are you saying, Brother Pike? I'm saying that it's your mind. You see, the strong, healthy, robusting Raph, young, alert, ready to go, everything fine, his mind. You know, he was riding a motorcycle. He was taking some tapes, some videotapes, back to the place that he had got them. Didn't know nothing was wrong, enjoying himself, riding down the road, crash. All of a sudden, he thinks he's 77 years old. Why would he be like that? Why isn't he the same Raph that he was before he crashed into the automobile? It's because of the mind. The man that's having hallucinations, the man that's in the insane asylum, the woman, the girl that's young, beautiful girls, as you would say, or women, or nice, handsome men, as the world terms it. They're there, and yet they're totally insane. They're gone. What is it? It's their mind. It's their mind. You know, I don't like to say these things because if I do, sometimes you kind of get to hallucinating or you kind of get beside yourself and you know, you get like that. And it's not good to toy with the mind, and I'm not toying with the mind, and I'm not saying those things to toy with the mind like some psychiatrist would do or whatever. But you know, you sit in your little home, you ride in your car, you come to church, you say what you want to say, you think what you want to say, I think. See, and you point out very clearly to everybody it's because you're sane and sober. But as far as the man that's in the mental institution, you're all mixed up. He knows what he's doing, and he knows who he is. And as Raph said, 77 years old, and he's General Robert E. Lee, and you understand what I'm saying? He really thinks that. He really believes that. He really is that as far as he's concerned. That's his world. So then the thought is, how do you know that you're what you are? How do you know? You don't know whether you're insane or ain't insane. As a matter of fact, the world has done got so mixed up till the doctors don't know and the psychiatrists don't know. And they've got hundreds of people in the insane asylum that there ain't nothing wrong with. If we're going by stability according to our definition of stability and sanity. Somebody says, I know that I'm sane. By what absolute do you know it? By what standards do you know it? You don't know nothing. Just like the government, it's a mixed up mess. It's babbling. Nobody don't know nothing. The lawyers don't know. The president don't know. Nobody don't know nothing. They think they know. See, it's just a general mixed up mess. You don't know, but what you're just an insane person is talking to another insane person, and that's your world, and everything's fine. You're not worried about it. They eat like you do. They drink like you do. They do what they want to do. So you don't know nothing. And as a matter of fact, let's go a little farther than that. I can positively prove that the entire world is insane. All of them's gone insane. All of them's lost their minds. All of them's gone. None of them knows what they're doing. And they're just a bunch of beasts, and they think that they're human beings. And they think that they're sons of God. And they think that they own this world. And they think they're great educated people. And they think they're dignitaries. And the Bible said they're pigs and dogs. And God said, you think that, but you're out there wallowing in the mire. You're nothing but a swine. And he said, you're nothing but a dog out there vomiting and licking your vomit when you get through. So you thought I was way off, didn't you? You thought I didn't know what I was talking about. And now you come to understand it. Maybe you don't know what you're thinking about. See, I ask you, how do you know that you're sane? How do you know that you're a human being? How do you know but what you are a pig or a dog? How do you know? By what absolute? By what proof? By some bald-headed professor over here that gave somebody a paper and said he was a doctor or a dentist or some kind of a fellow that's supposed to be a philosopher or some guy over there is a psychiatrist that don't even know whether he's up or down. You know? Folks, let me tell you something. There's only one absolute, that's God. There's only one proven thing, that's God's Word. Just like there's some great men and research that's positively proved from the origin of mankind that there is an invisible God and that men, all men one time, believed in that invisible God. But that they have spread it out through the old tree and kingdom of Babylon until they're a bunch of mixed up, messed up minds until they don't know nothing no more. They think there's three gods, and some think there's two gods, and some think there's no God. See, what proof do you have that you're anything or that you know anything? This is why that I said a little bit earlier. You know, a little bit earlier. That you've got to have God's Spirit on the inside of you. You've got to have Christ's Spirit on the inside of you. You've got to have an absolute. You've got to have something that's been proven. You've got to have a foundation. If I ask you tonight, I'd say, do you believe that you're going to heaven? You say, yeah, I'm going to heaven, Brother Pike. I'd say, everyone that believes they're going to heaven, raise your hand. Up would go the hands. But what proof have you got that you're going to heaven? You don't know whether you're going to heaven or not. You don't know whether you're a child of God or not. Oh, somebody says, I know. Well, how do you know? Tell me. I'd love to know how that you know. You don't know. You ain't got no proof. There ain't nothing that you can show me that will prove that you're a child of God. Other than the Word of God as an absolute. Other than Christ's Spirit on the inside of you. Somebody said, well, I feel the presence of God. That don't mean nothing. The Bible said He pours out His Spirit upon the just and the unjust, upon the drunkard, upon the murderer, upon the harlot. The blood is on the seat of atonement. Right now, God doesn't see anybody committing harlotry. Right now, God doesn't see anybody killing anybody. Have you ever stopped to think now? Just stop to think for just a minute. Do you believe that God would sit on the throne and see a man take a little baby by the feet and burst his brains out? Or that God would sit there and watch some drunk take a mother and choke her to death or cut her heart out? Do you think that God would do that and not do anything about it? Well, you should know better than that. You should know God more than that. If God one time saw that man bust that baby's brains out, God would tear him into ribbons. Did you know that a man of God just coming out of the woods or coming back from across the Jordan, more than 40 children were torn to pieces by bears because they just spoke against him? That was God, the fury of God come. Just because they spoke against him, he cursed them in the name of the Lord. Do you understand what I'm saying? Did you know that the king took men, women, children, and everything else and throwed them to the lions? Because God prepared his heart to do it because they touched his man Daniel. How much more would God, sitting on the seat of judgment, take a man that would take a little innocent baby and rend that man and tear him to pieces because of what he'd done to that baby? Do you think that God would sit on his throne and God would look down from heaven and see the little children in Africa starving to death? Are you so wretched in your mind and so misconstrued in your mind to think that, and then you tell me that you're sane and you're sober and you know who you are and you know what you're doing and you know what's going on? And you think that God would sit by and watch them little kids starve to death over there, no food, and see their grounds dried up in no water and let that be like that? You think God would do that? No, he would never do that. You see what it is? God has never seen it. God's never looked on it. God don't know nothing about it. You understand what I'm saying? The only thing that God knows about that is through the Lord Jesus Christ and the grace and mercy that he gives to cover their sins so that he won't have to kill, he won't have to destroy, he won't have to do those things when it comes to death. Do you think God is killing those kids and starving those kids to death and holding back their water? Do you think God's doing that? No, Lucifer's doing that. Satan's doing that. Sin's doing that. God doesn't do that. I've had people so ignorant, they come to me and say, if there's a God, why did he do that, Brother Pike? Why don't he do something? And I think, what an ignorant person you are. You've never bothered to find out. You've never done nothing for God. You've never applied yourself. You're not doing anything for those children. And you know about it. You know about it, and you're not doing anything about it. But if God could see it, if God knew about it, if God could get out there, why, he had bowled the heavens together and poured down water until their fields was yielding harvests like you'd never dream of. But you see, God can't look on sin. God can't fellowship sin. This world is dark. This world is void. This world has no form. This world is separated from God. This world is the powers of Lucifer. And all that God sees is through the blood. And when he sees that through the blood, his mercy comes. Because the blood covers everybody's sins, everybody's wrong. The blood takes away everything. But I'll tell you what, folks. You wait until the blood is taken away. You wait until the blood comes off the seat of atonement. You wait until the kingdoms of this world become the kingdoms of God and of his Christ, and God can look at it. And you watch God bow the heavens together, and you watch God shake the stars out of their sockets. And you watch God get after those wretched, miserable devils until they run and cry for the rocks and the mountains to fall upon them and hide them from the face of him that sitteth upon the throne. For the great day of his wrath is come. God's wrath is not now because he's not seen it.
He poured out his wrath on Jesus, and he saw sin in its fullness for the entirety of mankind, from beginning to end. And he made an end of it to where he would never be in wrath again. He would never see sin again. But one day he's going to see it again. You know why? He's going to see my sins. He's going to see your sins. He's going to see the people's sins that accepted that crucifixion, that accepted that thing that he'd done through Jesus. Everyone that accepts that, the wrath is forever gone. But everyone that didn't accept it, when God takes the blood off the seat of atonement and he looks beyond that and he sees all of that sin and all of that corruption, he'll shake the stars clear out of their sockets. He'll rain down fire and brimstone. He'll come on that white horse. He'll dip a sword in blood till the blood, even the valleys, the Bible said even the valleys will run with the blood. He'll spill their blood in such a way. I know you don't understand that. Maybe you don't believe that, but it's true. You know, it's just like Joseph. The king hadn't been down in the dungeon. The king didn't know anything that was going on down there. It's like the dream. It's like the vision. The king didn't know what was going on in the spirit. He had a dream. He didn't know. It was a dream to him. But see, Joseph was the man that was in between. He knew. He told him all about it. That's the way Jesus is. God don't know, see, only through his son Jesus, because he cannot look upon iniquity. Even Jesus, when Jesus became sin, the Bible said the Son became as black as sackcloth of hair. And God just had to back away. He couldn't look even at his own Son. So I said that to say this. It's your mind. Your minds. See, it's your mind. What do you know in your mind? Whose mind do you have? Do you have the mind of the devil? Do you have the mind of God? Do you have the mind of a man? Which relates back to the beast. See, what kind of man or mind do you have? See, do you have a mind to understand, a mind of Christ? The Bible said the wicked don't understand. Them people out there say, why does God do this and why does God do that? And if there be a God, you know, like the man, the thief, he said, if you be Christ, get us down from here. And the other fellow said, why don't you shut up? Said, the thing is, he is God. And we've got our just dues and we're paying for it and good and well, and you need to shut up. Take it like a man. But he said, Lord, there is something beyond this, and if you will, you'll remember me. Just remember me. He said, I will. I will. When I cross over there in paradise, he said, I'll take you right with me. See, what kind of mind did the man have on this side? This man over here represented the law. And the law said an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. You know, we're from the show me state. Prove it. Thomas said, let me see the hands and I'll put my fingers in the cuts. The other man said, no, it ain't like that at all. I believe. Which was on this side of Calvary. Not the law, but grace. You understand what I'm saying? You don't know who you are. You don't know what you are. You don't know where you are. You don't know where you've been. You don't know where you're coming from. You don't know where you're going. Jesus said, you don't know where you come from and you don't know where you're going. He said, but I know where I come from. I know where I'm going. Now, how could he do that? Only if you've got the Spirit of Christ. He knows. He knows. If you've got the Spirit of Christ, he knows. And he'll tell you and he'll reveal it to you. And there's an unction from the Holy One that you should know all things. You don't have to be in darkness. You're not children of intellectual ignorance. Your eyes are not blinded. You do know. You do understand. You know when it's nigh at the door. You know that God would not let a man beat that little baby's brains out or souse him down into hot, scalding water and take his life and let him get by with it. You know your God better than that. You know the God that you do sent Samuel over and he hewed a man into pieces just by the inspiration of God. And that was Samuel. Samuel, because God had programmed Samuel's mind. And Samuel did that. But think what God would do. Think what God's going to do when he comes down on the white horse. See, he doesn't know anything except through Christ. Someone would say, but Brother Pike, here's Christ over here and here's Samuel over here. I know, but before Samuel was, he said, I am. Way back in the beginning, before Abraham was, he said, I am. All of these things was in Christ before the world ever was. It was made in Christ. You understand what I'm saying? So then that means that God can only see through Christ. He can only create through Christ. He can only perfect through Christ. It can only be made known to him through Christ. And the blood of Jesus is so great that it says, Father, wait, wait, wait. This is a day of grace. Wait. The church is not ready yet, Father. You don't need to take a look at it now. Just wait. Did you know the Bible speaks of the Lord coming down in the days of Abraham just through the eyes of Jesus, just through the body of the Lord? When Jesus told him over there in the New Testament that Abraham saw my day and rejoiced to see it, when the Lord Jesus came down and just took a look at Sodom and Gomorrah, the Bible said he rained fire and brimstone down from heaven and destroyed it. Just one look, he said, I come down here to take a look. He said, I want to see if this thing is altogether like I've heard that it is. I got a report that it's like this, and I want to take a look, and I want to see. And through the eyes of Jesus, it's Jesus. He took a look and he destroyed the whole thing. See, the blood was not yet on the seat of atonement. That is to the extent of being revealed. It was in the foreknowledge, but only to them that love the Lord. And only to the wicked when you get down to Calvary as to sparing them. How do you understand what I'm saying? That is to say, to allow the church to come in, a church age. We know that God's always been merciful, always been there. But just one group of people that was under the law, that supposedly had their eyes open, they were gone like that, swallowed up with the earth. I wish we had time to detail this and really go into it and explain it. But like I said, I just read a little something here because I wanted to open a door to something. And I'm not going to hold you long because I talked to you a good bit before. I know you're not going to understand. But remember, God doesn't see it. God doesn't see it. His eyes are too pure. He can't look on iniquity. He doesn't see it. The blood says, not now, Father. Not now, Father. Spare him. Not now, Father. Wait. So chance happeneth to everybody. And the chances are you may get killed. The chances are you may not get killed. The chances are that a man religious might get killed or a man non-religious might get killed. Just as many as we would say that a religious gets killed as those that are not religious gets killed. See, so it has nothing to do with it as to preservation. But all of this centers around one thing, and that's a frame of mind. As to who you are, as to what you are, as to what God knows, as to what God sees. I'm speaking of sight through eyes of understanding. As to what you know, as to what you see, as to whether Christ is you, in you, or whether Christ is not in you. It all centers around that. And God revealing to you according to your mind. Daniel said, I had a dream. And God revealed something to him. And the Bible said, God moves upon us. Job said, at night time, God will move upon us. He'll reveal things to us. He'll tell us things. See, a vision, just a dream. A lot of times I tell you, you know, there's a dream, but it's a vision. It is the mind of God. It is a vision. It is the mind of God. You might have another kind of dream that might be dirty and filthy, that might be the mind of Satan. The Bible speaks of the filthy dreamers. But here is a man dreaming the right kind of dream. It's a dream from God, and it is called a vision from God. He had a vision. Whereas the Bible said, if there's a prophet among you, I'll reveal myself to him in dreams and visions. Here is a vision he had. Now there's another mind that we preach about, and this mind is a human mind. And you have dreams from that. And it's called from the multitude of business. So you've got three minds, as I say, three powers, three spirits, three angels that's using your brain, using your brain. So you don't know who you are. You don't know where you're from. You don't know what you're doing unless you've got something to define that mind, unless you've got the Word of God as an absolute, unless you've got God's Word as the Spirit of Christ on the inside of you, which is the mind of Christ to tell you who you are and what you are and what everything is about and what the past is about and the present is about and the future is about and what kind of being you are and what kind of being God is and whether you see or don't see or whether God sees or don't see, you don't know. You don't know. It's just one big mixed up world that's called Babylon. Satan has got it all mixed up. He messed it up. God had it straight with Adam and Eve. But when he got in there with his filth and his junk and his filth of the flesh and his lust of the flesh and the desires of things, he's got it mixed up and messed up to where pigs think they're human beings and human beings think they're pigs. The prodigal finally decided that he didn't belong in the pig pen. And he almost got to eating with the pigs. And the Bible said he would fain have filled his belly with the husk that the swine did eat. And then he remembered that he wasn't supposed to do that. He wasn't a hog. Somebody would say, well, Brother Pike, any ignoramus would have known better than that. Well, if that's true, why is it that you ate with the pigs? And why is it that you want to live with the pigs? And why is it that you want to wallow with the pigs? And why is it you want to lap the vomit with the dogs? Just because folks get mixed up. You take an old drunk, he'll wobble and he'll bobble and he'll vomit up his drink and then he'll get to think about his money he paid for it and get down on his knees and lick his drink back up. Like I told my granddaddy when I was a kid, I felt sorry for him. I said, Grandpa, I said, get that stuff out. Vomit that stuff up. And he said, my liquor? You know, I paid my money for? He wasn't going to vomit that vomit up. He was going to keep it on the inside of him. See, somebody said, don't you know I'm a boss on my job? Don't you know this is my business? Don't you know I got me a new car from this? And don't you know I'm going to college and this is my future? Vomit the stuff up. Get it out of your system. Get away from it. Don't you know you're dirty? Don't you know you're filthy? Don't you know you're wallowing in the mire? Don't you know you're wallowing in the slop? Get out of the mire. Get out of the slop. You can't do that. There ain't no way you can do that. Except you be a son of God. Except you be a daughter of God. Finally, you find an absolute. You find the mind of Christ. You get the right frame of mind. You come into your own mind like Legion. The Bible said when Jesus went there, he tore himself. He cut himself with the stones. When the Lord put him in his right mind, he put on clothes. Everything was fine. The man was in his right mind. He didn't live in the tombs anymore. It's like a person yesterday. They were frantic. They were hysterical. They were screaming. They were hollering. I said, it's a devil. No. I said, yes, it is. I said, I'm acquainted with devils. I know devils when I see them. It's a devil. No, I'm looking for peace. I'm looking for this. I'm looking for that. I just want the truth. I said, no. I said, it's a devil. I said, that's what it is. The Bible said all the paths of God are peace. I said, what I'm going to do is lay hands on you and cast the devil out or drive the devil off. They raved. I laid my hands on them and I prayed and I drove the devil off. And within 5 minutes, they were as calm, just as calm as water that had never been rippled even by a pebble. Everything was fine from then on. No more problem. I had a vision. That night I had a vision. I looked and in this vision, I saw a high-powered wire. And I saw these great towering supports that you see carrying these high-powered wires. And I looked, and it was like a bird. It was sitting up on top of one of them, way up there. And he kept cooing at me like that, cooing at me, just calling at me. You know, like a little child. He'd say, yah, bah, 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 like that, you know, like a little bird would do. And he kept on till he caught my attention. And when he called my attention, I realized that he already had somebody else's attention. And this somebody else was involved with this very person that was so frantic and acting up. Now, I remember when I drove the devil off of him. And this bird had caught this person's attention, and they were playing with each other. You know, the little bird was saying, the way it was doing, it was saying, look at me, play with me, play with me. And the person was You know, I see you, little bird. I see you. You know, it wasn't those words and that kind of thing. But I mean, that's the way it was. They were relating to one another. They were playing with one another. And so when it done me that way, I was going to do the same thing. And I looked it out. I said, wait a minute. That's a bat. I said, I ain't going to play with that thing. And I stopped just like that. See, that's exactly the way it was with the spirit and the individual that was playing with the spirit. They were playing with one another. And it was a sympathetic sort of a thing, you know. Make allowance. But when I realized that thing was a spirit, I didn't try to reason with it no more. I cast the devil out. And that ended it. See, that's what you got to do. You're messing with a high-powered thing. You're messing with God Almighty. You're wrestling against spirits, powers, demons, not flesh and blood. See, a nerve system, a power line, a devil, blindness, a bent, a spirit, something that don't have any eyes. The Bible said the God of this world, even Lucifer, the prince of darkness, has blinded your eyes that you can't see. You are a bent. You are a creature of darkness. You can't see. You're bound. And the Bible says you won't see when good cometh because you are a creature of darkness. You are blind. But folks, we're not blind. That day should come upon us unaware. We're children of light. See, why did God give me that vision like he did Daniel? He wanted me to know that I'd made the right decision. That I'd made the right choice. And he wanted me to ever stand in that same way. To do those things and not to play with spirits. See, folks, you can't play with spirits. You can't do that. I told somebody not too long ago. There is right now four people. More than that. But I'm just going to use four of them. That's sitting in this audience. Five people. How many people? I don't know. I'm talking about sitting in this audience right now. Some of them that I warned that's in horrible condition. I wouldn't call their names. I wouldn't say anything about it because I'm trying to help folks. And demons wreck and ruin character. And they ruin people. But the thing is, the people give place to the devils. You try to tell them, they're not going to listen to you. They're going to be haughty. They're going to do their own thing. You know, they're going to do it this way. It ain't like that anyway. That's just Brother Pye. But you know, the first news you know it, like that, and it stings like an adder. Somebody says, my God, I'm wrecked. But it's too late. See, people sitting right here that played around with demons, you know, that little kitten just purring, you know, I mean, he's purring, just rubbing. Rub him, and after a while, before you realize it, you find out he's a wildcat. And he's turned around and he's hung his claws into you. Like the vision I had of the woman that was down in the slime pit. She was what they call a beautiful woman. She seemed so innocent. She was there. She was crying for help. She was pleading. And I thought in my mind with all purity, I thought, you know, this is horrible. That woman's in the slime pit. It's such a pitiful sight. And I run over. I grabbed her hand. She was hollering, take my hand, take my hand. I run over and grabbed her hand. And when I grabbed her hand, it locked on my hand and she turned into a hideous witch. She turned into a devil. And she had the strength of a devil. And I couldn't get my hand loose from her. And you know what it was? She didn't want to get out of the slime pit. She wanted to pull me into the slime pit with her. And I wrestled and called on the name of Jesus until I broke her hold. And I got away from the slime pit. And she didn't get me in the slime pit. But folks, a lot of you do that, you know. You get over there and you think, this is so pretty. This is so nice. You know, this is so lovely. And that feeling that I feel running over my body. I know that's another man's wife. I know that husband belongs to another woman, you know. But I just can't resist it. My thoughts, my feeling. You know, that's the same thing that happened to devil, the or to David, the devil got a hold of him, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life. You've just got to have that. You've just got to have that woman. You've just got to have that man. You can't resist it. You've just got to have that automobile. You've got to have that piece of land. You've got to have your way. You've got to do this thing. You've got to go there. You've got to do those things that you want to do. And then when you get through, then when you satisfy the flesh, you come and say, you know, I've changed my mind, you know. Like the man that defiled his own sister. Could have had a wife because of the different mothers as to the marriage in David's house. But when he wrecked her life, when her virtues was gone, he kicked her out and despised her. You run back to God after you do your dirty doings and say, oh, I love the Lord. Brother Piper wouldn't do that for nothing. Oh, Jesus, forgive me. And you're just as dirty and filthy as a pig, and the slop still running out your mouth. What is it? You wouldn't listen. You wouldn't listen. See, you want to satisfy yourself, satisfy your thoughts, satisfy your doings. Talk to them, talk to him, talk to her, talk to those. Do these things. And hide it from the husband. He won't ever know. Hide it from the wife. Oh, it ain't that much anyway, you know. But after a while, just like a dagger, into the heart it goes. All of it explodes. It's mushrooms. Everybody knows it. They say, oh my God. Oh my God. He said, I never knew it was so hideous. Reproaches the kingdom. Drove David off his kingdom. Off his throne. Drove him out into the wilderness. Took his wives. Wrecked his wives. Killed. Destroyed. The death of the children. Everything. See, it didn't seem so bad, did it? But the sword never did depart out of his house. I'm going to close. But I said that to say this. The thing to do is resist the devil and he'll flee from you. When you feel those wooing spirits of adultery and fornication and evil and the abaseness of the seducing spirits that try to pull you down to evil and filth and ungodliness and slop, whether it be with your companion or be with somebody else or whether it be out there in the world or whatever it might be, when the devil is trying to make your mind a wallow hole for devils and demons by introducing thoughts and oppressing you and driving you and coming down on your mind, get rid of that kind of thing. Cast down the imagination and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God and bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of the Lord Jesus Christ and get rid of that kind of thing. Don't feed your spirit with it. Don't let your human senses be given to it till you feel like it's interwoven with your taste buds and you can eat somebody up. That's just an old pig. You know, folks, eat pig in the Old Testament, it was forbidden. But since grace come along, we can digest certain things. A lot we could say about that as to what you feed on, that's what you are. But remember, folks, remember what I'm telling you. They served the lamb at the crossover. They served the lamb at the Passover. And they applied the blood. They desecrated the altars in the breach between the Old and New Testament. In that day, they desecrated the altars by spilling the blood of pigs. You understand what I'm saying? Maybe we'll bring out something on that sometimes concerning the Maccabees and the days of the breach. You know, a lot of people are trying to offer pig blood today. But when he said, when I see the blood, I'll pass over you, he wasn't talking about pig blood. People out there are dogs and are pigs. And all of their self-sacrifice and their self-made ideas and their philosophy and their colleges and professors and preachers. And all that they're doing is pig blood to God. The Bible said we are, as the members of his body, a lamb, clean and holy, a sacrifice that's offered up on the altars of God, killed all the day long, accounted as sheep for the slaughter. It's the blood of the lamb that he's looking for. When he sees it, he'll pass over you. I know you don't understand a lot of things you don't understand. Because it's a little scattered. And I'm having to say some things tonight. I'm not able to tie it all together because I don't have time to do that. But do you see what I'm saying? Do you see what I'm saying? It all centers around the mind. The mind. Thoughts. Don't let the devil make a wallow hole out of your mind. Don't do it, folks. Don't let him trample your mind down. Listen at the preacher. Think the thoughts of God. Have faith. Live a holy life. Give that body to Jesus and let the mind of God control it. If the mind controls it, that is the mind of God. It is the body of Jesus. And any part you hold back from the mind of God as to every thought in subjection, it means that's that part of the pig. I want you to stand with me. There's just so many things I'd like to say tonight, especially to clarify some of these things, introduce a lot of thoughts, but I talked to you in the preliminary part quite a bit. So I'll try to condense this. Folks, don't give in to them feelings. Don't be a pig. Don't be a dog. Prove yourself to be a son of God. I say this to you a lot of times, and I'm still trying to say it to you tonight, that if you are a son of God, you'll have control over your passions. You'll have control over your thoughts. You'll have control over your body. You'll have control over your entire being through your stride of life. You'll have control. Because you are a son of God. That is your proof of sonship. It proves that you are not a beast. Because beasts, they have no control. A man and his wife, they're married. They have control. That's their home. They don't go out to every other man and woman. But in the world, marriage means nothing. Because they're a bunch of pigs. They're a bunch of dogs. They're a bunch of animals. And God allows it to go on because they're just a bunch of animals anyway. They're just a high form of animal, that's all. Even scientists have proved it. So he lets them mix and mingle and pitch their parties and go like dogs and pigs intermingling with each other. But the proof of sonship is those that honor marriage, those that honor God, those that honor his word, that have control over their beings. They don't go gullibly after businesses and gullibly after positions and gullibly after being a dignitary. They may become a dignitary as it was with Daniel, as it was with the Hebrew children when God took them down into Babylon. God took them down there for one reason. He knew that Babylon would be the control of the world and the world had to multiply and replenish until his coming, and that over here in America it's going to be a civilized Babylon. And all of that was the ethics and the way of life. Out of Egypt, the Rosetta Stone, the hieroglyphics. He knew all of that. That was the way of life. He knew that. So he let Daniel and him go down there to get good understanding into the king. Instead of that bunch of fanatics that they call the wise men. You let the Hebrew children be down there as governors. They didn't go looking for that. They didn't go campaigning for that. God did that. Because he knew this thing was going to run its course clear over here to Caltech and everywhere else. It's like I said something to Chuck the other day. Chuck is probably top of the line around here. He's one of them, I know. Him and John and a number of others has graduated from different colleges. And we was talking. Caltech's probably one of the top of the line. And I'm not mocking, I'm not critical. I've got enough sense to not to criticize good understanding. But we was just talking about Caltech and different ones coming from Caltech and the different places. And Chuck coming from Caltech. And I said, that's great, Chuck. I said, God took you out of kindergarten and put you over here in college where you could learn something. And that don't sound right, does it? But it's a true fact. All that they could learn you out there in the world, the Bible said, is nothing but foolishness. Every bit of it is foolishness. And Paul said, I count it all as dung. And I'm determined to know nothing among you but Christ and Him crucified. And then Paul got the real education when the revelation was revealed and the knowledge from heaven. He said, they're ever learning and they don't know nothing when they get through. So they never do find the truth. They don't know what they are. It's their mind. It's just a system. It's an old Babylonian system. They say, get this year and then 2 more years and 5 years of our college and then you'll be able to know how to cut somebody's throat and pull your little cunning deal. And you can manipulate over here and you can steal over here and you can cheat over here and you'll get a professional piece of paper to give you the right to do it, and the man with the badge and the gun will stand there while you do it. Nobody will trouble you. Because that's the way we do it in the underworld, the devil will tell you. You know, in New York, Chicago, they go by, they say, you need some insurance? No, we don't need any insurance. By night, the place is burned down. They come back today and say, would you like to buy some insurance? Sure, I guess we better take some of your underworld insurance or you'll burn the next place down. See, that's the old Moffat system, the old devil system. It's their mind, it's their thinking, it's their thought. Thinking themselves to be something when they're nothing. But folks, we don't go after that. We don't follow after that. We might be a president. We might become a governor. We might become a leader. We might become in a place of preeminence. We might have a business. But see, I'm going to let you go in a few minutes. Hold on to me. You're doing real well. I'm not going to drag it out. See, we don't do that. We might wind up in those places for God's purpose. I believe somebody was telling my daughter, I believe it was telling me that recently they had an exceedingly wealthy man. You might have heard it on TV. And they were interviewing him. And they were asking him about his riches and the way he accumulated and the way to approach it and what was to be done and all these things. And he must have been a pretty wise man. Because they said when they asked him about getting rich and what did they have to do to get rich? He said, the first mistake that you're making is that you don't have any business wanting to be rich to start. He said, I was made rich. I didn't have no desire to be rich. That I didn't try to be rich. He said, that's your first mistake. You got no business trying to be rich. So that's wrong to begin with. And he said, another thing, if somebody thinks they're coming to me because I'm rich and get a handout, he said, they won't get no handout from me. He said, if they want to work, so I'll be glad to give him some money. And he went on with such things, you know. So we don't run after those things, like the man said. The blessing of the Lord maketh rich. I think the magazine they're publishing now, the heading that Chuck's got, the blessing of the Lord maketh rich and addeth no sorrow. We're children of God. We own everything. We own the world. Why should I run after vain prestige when we're the most prestigious thing in all of the universe and will be throughout eternity? Why should I run after riches when all wealth belongs to me? And why should I cut off a corner of the world over here and say, this is my little spot of ground, other than trying to get something to do for God or dedicated to God because of being under the curse? Why should I do that when I own it all? And one day I'm going to run the squatters off. Why should I go to college and say, I'm going to get me an education when the Bible said, all of them that are born of God are of a good understanding. And they're the only ones that do understand. They said to Jesus, how do you know letters never having learned? The children of Israel coming out of Egypt, they had no colleges, they had no schools, and yet they had the highest understanding there was. You say, you can't prove that, Brother Pike. Now you can prove it. See, the Bible said that when you go into Canaan, speaking to them children of Israel, said the fear that they're going to have of you is your understanding. Said your understanding and knowledge is going to be so great that them people are going to be afraid of you. You know, you get afraid when a man's got a head full of learning, you know. Somebody said, not me. I tell you what, stand you before the judge and see if you don't get afraid. Because he knows what he can and can't do and what you can and can't do. And he knows he can put you in and lock you up and you can say, you can't do it, you can't do it. But he can still do it. You get afraid. When the sheriff comes out and pulls his gun, he says, see here, you don't know whether he can blow your brains out or not, but he does. See, well, anyway, you understand, folks, what I'm trying to say. Let's sing this little chorus together. Maybe we'll have time to elaborate a little more later, and we'll have time to explain a little better what we're saying. I'm just telling you one thing, and you know, tonight, and that is, you don't know who you are, and you don't know what you are, and you don't know where you come from, and you don't know where you're going, and you don't know what the future holds for you. But Jesus does. You don't know. So you don't know. You may be young, and you may be like Raph. You may be almost dead by morning. You may think you've got a grand future. And you may not live to be 25 years old. You may not live to be 35 years old. You may not live to be 50 years old. So you don't know.
You think you're gathering the pennies so you can keep it. They run out there to gather the hidden manna. They were going to gather it. You know, gullible. God had told them not to do it, but they wasn't going to honor the word of the Lord. They wasn't going to pray for their daily bread. They wasn't going to share what they had with one another. You know, I'm going to put it in the bank. I'm going to have me a bank account. I'll get me a nice car. I'll do such and such. But see, when they got out there and they picked it up and piled it up, the next day they got ready for it, it was full of worms. It wasn't fit to eat. The bread had become wormy. Well, they'll never do me that way. I don't know. The Bible said they'll throw their money to the bats and cry for the rocks and mountains to fall on them because they've been so foolish. All right, let's sing together. I love Him. I love Him. All because Jesus first loved me. And He purchased my salvation on Calvary's tree. You need a shepherd, folks. The wolf may be just around the corner. The sheep don't know what to do. They don't know where to go. They don't know how to be saved. The shepherd is what watches after them. You need a watchman on the wall because the people in the city don't know the enemy's coming. They can't see through the wall. They don't know. But the watchman watches for the city. The watchman watches. See, you need a heavenly Father. You need the Spirit of Christ to inform you. You need the shepherd. You're not self-sufficient because you've got a brainstorm of some computerized something that somebody put in your ears or mind. You need God. You need some real understanding. The Bible said all them that are born of God are of a good understanding. That's what you need. Like the songwriter said, you need to think a little less of yourself and a little more of others. God, help me to think a little more of others. The Bible said, look on the things of another. Esteem others better than yourself. Seek the welfare of another. Try to help the widows and the orphans. And then God will add all these things unto you. All right, people are falling. I'm telling you in the name of the Lord. Great men, it's the end of the world. The Bible said even some of them that have knowledge will fall. There's a man sitting right here or standing here. He told me today. He said, Brother Pike, you know, we was talking about Gideon looking over there. The angel was looking at Gideon. Gideon trying to pick up a few little pieces of corn or something maybe that the crows hadn't got or whatever it was in that day. And here the angel of God was standing over here seeing his future, seeing who he was and saying, oh, mighty man of valor. And Gideon was just as if to say, looking around saying, well, who in the world is he talking to? Ain't nobody here but me. I'm poor and in poverty and ain't got nothing. See, but he wasn't looking at that condition. He was looking at the time of his victories as if to say, Gideon, I wished I was like you. I wished I could be a champion in the sight of God like that. I hadn't got a body. I'm a spirit. You understand what I'm saying? This man says, Brother Pike, I walked by a man's house. And he said, as I walked by the house, the man was sitting on the porch. And said, the man was messing with some little old horn or something. And said, I looked and I thought, my, that man messing with that little old thing sitting out there. He said, and I stood and looked and I thought, what a great man that man is. You know, he's such a great man. And him doing something like that. You understand? Folks, we need to be a hero for Jesus. We need to show our sonship. We need to get out there and the parents need to lay up for the children. And we need to be a hero for God. We need to do something for God. Like the two ladies that came down today. Brother Ray Gabriel's wife, we prayed for her. God broke the yoke. Fine person. And one of the other sisters that comes here out of Athens, that Brother Lynn and them knows, prayed for them. The tears run. They found victory. They found something triumph. Follower of Brother Branham, a great, mighty prophet.
Brother Branham's gone, the drought's on, the famine's been. Now the waters are beginning to pour down. It's fixing to pour down. The drought, like the vision I had, everything dry is gone. Those things over there in Africa, all of it since that vision. See, Elijah's found somewhere the water's coming. Jezebel's going to get her dosed. Her painted lips and bobbed hair and form-fitting clothes and split-down skirts and the world and its painted frolics. God's going to feed her to the dogs. Them people out there that he calls dogs is going to devour and eat her up. Her old Jezebel face will be gone. She'll be dung upon the face of the earth according to the words of the prophet. See, that time is here. Even Brother Branham's following is hungry. Ray, Gabriel, wish we had time to comment on it. When Gabriel sounds his trumpet, the one that took the message to Mary at the very same time all this was happening, we was looking at a testimony I didn't even know they had of Mary that was healed of cancer, and that in Brother Branham's meeting, and that right there under the tent. And all of this as to Brother Branham's following and the different things, it would take a whole lot of time and a long time to explain. And there it was, Ray, the little fellow, his wife here, they're one. You say, what's that got to do with it? It was Chuck's birthday. It's his birthday today. Charles, my brother, Phoenix City, Arizona. So we just could go on and on, but we'd have to detail it. What's that got to do with Ray? A lot with. Because Ray has to do with that man-child, that message. That thing was said, Elperton, the prophecy of the man-child, of the California man that prophesied. You don't understand that because I'd have to detail it. Some of you don't even know what I'm saying. Some of you understand a little of it. Well, anyway, it's a great day, folks. It's a great day. Even to what the brother said about his little mare Grace the other day, I'm sure he understood some things. Or he wouldn't have made that statement when we was commenting there at the men's meeting, and especially at the very time that the others was finishing up the part up there. I think it's wonderful the way the brethren did. It took 7 months. Had a real meaning. It's wonderful. How many know things are happening? Great and mighty things are happening. Sister wants her dad prayed for. Having problems. Let's stand together. Let's everybody stand together. I said something to this brother today about some things. I believe kind of hoping to understand a few things. Everybody ought to know. Everybody ought to know. Everybody ought to know who Jesus is. For he is the lily of my valley, and he's my bright and morning star. He is the fairest of 10,000. Everybody ought to know. Everybody ought to tell. Sing it with me now. Everybody ought to tell. Everybody ought to tell who Jesus is. For he is the lily of your valley, and he's your bright and your morning star. And he is the fairest of 10,000, everybody ought to know.
I want you to lift your hands up with me. The end of the world is here. It's coming fast. And here we stand as people that must meet God. We've got to meet God at the judgment. Folks, what is it like in your heart? What is it like in your life? What are you doing? Have you drifted, as the song said, too far from the shore? You know, Brother Pike doesn't care. God doesn't care how many natural things you have, how much you want, whatever. He'll give you tons of it. He said, David, I gave you wives and wives and wives, and if that wasn't enough wives, I'd give you more wives. And then you do this dirty, devilish, evil, low-down thing. The sword ain't never going to depart from your house. See, why do you keep going after the world? Why is it you keep walking in the slippery places? Why is it that you don't get your mind on God? I've told you not to be carnally minded, for that's death. If you've got a good business, a good income, if you've got whatever, cherish it. Cherish your companion. Take fruit from your tree. Don't rob another man's vineyard. Enjoy your own wife and your own husband, your own income. Don't rob, cheat, kill, swindle, steal. Whether it's a virtue or whatever it is, it's demons that do that. Let your mind be holy. Let your mind be godly. Bring every thought into subjection. Meditate in His laws day and night. And God doesn't care if you eat and drink and sleep, if you don't get like a pig and just eat yourself to death and have no sense of reasoning. When you just eat and eat and drink and drink and you don't have any sense of reasoning or make any effort to do any different, then you are a pig. And you're going to get like a pig and you're going to die like a pig. You know, don't get to where you grab something and gnaw on it and growl on it every time somebody else wants a little piece of it. Say, this is mine, I work for it, ain't nobody going to get it. You know, and don't share with God and don't share with nobody, just like an old pig. You know, don't do that. Dog will grab a bone and he'll gnaw and growl and run off and bury the thing. And sometimes he don't never even go back to it. He just keeps it from somebody else. Let's be children of God. Let's be real men and women. Let's do the right thing. Let's teach our children the right thing. Let's have the right frame of mind. Let's have an absolute. Let's have a guideline. Let's have something to go by, something to found our thoughts upon, that we know that we are sane, we are sober, we are strong, we are healthy. We do know what we're saying. We're not a bunch of ignoramuses that says I'm healed when I meet up with cancer. Just because a person's got cancer and they say by faith in God's word, I'm healed, that don't mean they're an ignoramus. The doctor says, you ignoramus, my x-ray shows that you got cancer. It don't make no difference what his x-ray says. He don't know what he's doing. A dog don't know what he's doing unless he's got somebody to lead him. A pig don't know what he's doing except to grunt and waller in the mire. If God says you're healed, you're healed. And your faith in God is the proof that God said it. If you can't believe it, though you may be trying to believe it, if you can't believe it, then you don't get the benefit of it. But the saying that you are healed means that if you believe it, He said it. Because whatever you believe, then that's what He said would happen to you. He certainly isn't going to get upset with you for trying. So let's love the Lord. Let's have the right frame of mind. Let's don't get our mind on houses and lands and futures and education and all this junk. Blind ourselves and then wake up a little later and our boy's dead, our daughter's dead, our loved one's dead. Our mother's dead, our child's dead, and it's going to happen to you, it's going to happen to me, it's going to happen to all of us as we go down the line. They're going to die and you're going to die too. See, don't wait too late till these things strike your home. Help win your mother, help win your children, help win your daughter. Forget about a silly education. All them that are born of God have a good understanding anyway. If you want to give them a little schooling, that's fine. If you want to try to help them, that's fine. But don't run them like some pig into a pasture and pin them up, or into a pen and pin them up in a water hole. Don't do it. God will get you for that. Have people to come from the University of Georgia say, I don't want to be over there in that thing. My parents made me do it. Brother Richard the Jew lost his mind. I'm driving him over there in that water hole.
Get their education over there and then run out on the lawn and start streaking without their clothes like the papers carry. They lose all of their sense of reason. It took coming over here to get his mind restored to him and give him a little wife and give him a little happiness and give him a home. His daddy spending all of his money on the psychiatrist couldn't do him no good. But God gave the man a new life and restored him to life. Don't do such a foolish thing after you've seen the hand of God and the things of God. Love the Lord, folks. God will give you what you want, what you need. Don't get carnal-minded because he'll kill you. It's death. Satan will use that thing to kill you and rob you and steal what you've got. While you've got your heads bowed together in him, I'm going to ask Scotty to come up and pray. And while Scotty's coming up to pray, I want you to think on the things I said. Don't wait too late now. Some of them's already waited too late. They've already got themselves in the mire and in trouble. Already got problems. Deathbed's coming. Heartaches is coming. No matter how much they repent, God may forgive them. God may help them. But they're still going to have to suffer, go through the chambers of suffering to pay for what they've done. Because there's no remission of sin, no atonement for sin, for willful sin. It just ain't none there. And I tell you one more time, if the Word of God says something, you know that it says it and you've been told it and you know it, and just because your past has been different, your church affiliation has been different, because you want to be rebellious, you want to be contrary, you're going to go to hell for it. Remember, Brother Pike will be there to point his finger at you. You might say, I got as good a chance as you got. I'm going to make it. I tell you, that's a lying spirit that's talking to you. You ain't got no kind of chance. You are going to hell, and that's it. The Bible said, whosoever sins, the minister remits shall be remitted. Whosoever sins, he retains shall be retained. What's bound on earth will be bound in heaven. What's loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Paul said, in the last days, God shall judge you by my words that I'm speaking. For it's not me speaking, but Christ that's living. I tell you, you ain't got no chance. When you go contrary to the word, you're going into the lake of fire. And that's it. I mean, that's it. There ain't no chance at all for you. God isn't going to hear you. God doesn't love you. God doesn't want you. God doesn't care about you. God's not going to keep you healthy. God's not going to provide you bread. God's not going to give you anything. He's not going to help you keep your sanity because God doesn't care about you. He said, I'm angry with the wicked every day. The only reason that you're going to get any blessing, anything, any goodness at all from God is because of the shed blood. And just as soon as you die, you won't be under that. Or as soon as that blood's lifted off of the atonement, seat of atonement, the whole nation won't be getting nothing but the wrath of God. For when God sees iniquity, that'll be the day of his wrath. All right, as our brother comes to pray, think on these things.